just reach out, thinking about it. As I said, this world is not my home. I don't need to get bogged down with its cares and its problems because my home is not yet. I've not yet seen it. I enjoy this life, but I've got a feeling I'm going to enjoy the life to come so much more than what I'm having right now. Let's sing this over and let's just reach out after Him tonight. It's not my home, not just a passing place. Oh, yes, somewhere beyond the wind, oh, these angels beckon me, oh, from heaven's open door, and I say, oh, hallelujah, oh, yes, oh, Lord, you know who I am. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, what would I do? The angel beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't be that old in this world anymore. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated tonight. I feel like I ought to tell you that wasn't Joy's fault, that was my fault. So we're just past that norm. Hallelujah. So good to be here tonight. My, I'm glad I'm feeling what I'm feeling. I'd sure hate to come and not feel this tonight. I really would. There's nothing any more miserable than a Holy Ghost filled bunch of people not able to feel the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's misery to the point of the definition. But He's here tonight. He's here tonight. Hallelujah. If there's any reason to shout, we have it tonight. If there's any reason for victory, it's all around us tonight. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to turn with me to Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And I'd like to read the first two verses of Scripture that most of us could quote from memory, I'm sure. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Verse 1 and verse 2. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to be born. A time to be born. That's what I want to talk about tonight for a short while.
Amen.
A time to be born. You look at any of our lives, the most important part of any life is the birth. I mean, that's simple from the word go. If there is no birth, there can be no life. That's all there is to it. That goes back to the simplicity of it. Without a birth, there is no existence. I thought God could have taken every one of us, and it could have been His plan or His desire to do with us like He did to Adam. There's no reason that God did not take His finger and dust, draw every one of us, and take time out to breathe the breath of life into every one of us. He could have done that. That could have been His plan from Adam to everyone. But it was God's desire to institute the miracle of birth. The greatest miracle that I guess mankind can ever see. And to me, birth in the natural sense, it is a miracle. It has to be God sent. I remember when I was in Minnesota, Sister Norris telling us one day in class, she said, every time I see a newborn baby, she said, I have to think that there has to be a God. The eyes are in the same place. The nose is where it's supposed to be. The mouth. And as you begin to look at the perfection of that child, she said, my soul cries out, I thank you that I know you're alive, God. The miracle of birth. It begins with birth and it ends with death. And everything else we live, it's in between the birth and the death.
That's right.
A time to be born. Some time ago, I was up in Batesville, Arkansas, as a Brother Meeks. I think it was right about the time Richard was born, because I was all by myself, hating the trip, going by myself. And after church, we went back for a sandwich, and I was going to hightail it out of there just as soon as I could because I wanted to get back home. And so I thought I was going to get the sandwich and go on my way. And just about the time I was ready to go out and head out, Brother Meek's little boy come running in. Brother Meek's raised chickens. And I'd never been around a whole lot of stuff like that. I mean, I'd seen chickens and I'd seen eggs and all that, but the most of the eggs I'd ever seen were in a little carton. And my mom always broke them open and we ate them. But I have no idea. And I mean, I thought chickens that I never believed could ever live. This Brother Meek's raised this show type of chickens. He had different varieties. And his boy come running in. And he said, "Daddy, Daddy," he said, my quail egg's about to hatch. I had no idea how they knew that egg was about to hatch. But they had a calendar down, and all those chickens, they had them by name and who it was and what it was and when the egg was supposed to hatch. And there he brought that egg in and sat it underneath some lights. And I watched for the next about 2 hours or so. I watched as the rays from those heat lamps began to penetrate through the shell of that egg. And for several hours, I watched the struggle of life inside of that egg. And I was fascinated by it. Anyone else, it would have been ridiculous to sit there for 2 hours and watch an egg as it was trying to hatch open. But I began to watch, and I saw the moving of life inside of that egg. Now, I never saw the life yet, but I saw the movement, and I knew that there was life because the movement within the egg. Every once in a while, I'd watch him, and that little boy gets so excited when that egg would just about completely roll over in that little area they had it. And that egg would begin to roll, and every once in a while, the beak of that bird inside would peck out, and you'd see a crack that was formed along the shell of that egg. And every time any least little movement took place, Brother Meek's little boy got all excited. He said, "Daddy, Daddy, it's going to happen." And he'd have to sit back for rest just a few more moments because it wasn't yet. It wasn't going to happen yet. Now, to me, I thought, and I offered a good suggestion. I said, "Why don't we help it?" I didn't know. Why don't we, you know, it's struggling in there. Why don't we help get that egg out of the way? And Brother Meek's let me to know right away. He said, "If we do," he said, "it can cost the life of the chicken." He also told me, and I just took his word for it. I wasn't around. This is the first egg I'd ever seen hatch before. And he said, "Now, I have tried to help them before, and I've broken off pieces." And he said, "When that bird was hatched," he said, "I had a deformed bird, if it did live." Said, "More times than not, when you do offer a hand, and when you do try to do something," said, "that bird will lose its life." But he told me, he said, "It just has to take a natural course." But that bird, no one instructed it to break out of that shell. It was just an instinct. God instilled in that little creation and in all of creation the instinct to struggle for birth. There's nothing that has ever come alive through the birth process that has not had to struggle first for its birth and not have to fight and cause a warfare within itself to come alive. That struggle goes along hand in hand with the birth process. The instinct of the little bird to break out of the shell and every little movement that went along. Brother Meeks also told me, and again, I didn't know anything about all this, but he said, "Now, in the same way, we cannot help the shell. We cannot break the shell off." He said, "If the bird goes too long before it breaks out," he said, "I've seen times when the shell was just about to fall in half, and it was just about ready for that little bird to come out." He said, "It was kicking and moving, and you could even see the bird inside the shell already." He said, "Then all of a sudden, when it looked as though that shell should fall aside," said, "that bird just stopped. And there was no movement." Said, "What happened? The bird took too long to come alive. The bird took too long to hatch out of the shell." He said, "It can either go either way." Said, "If you try and help it out, you can kill it." He said, "There is a time process or a time element involved. When that bird must hatch out of the shell, there's a time element involved when that bird has to come alive." And I listened to that and I began to think about God's miracle of throughout all of creation. When God created the fish, he said, "Let the fish multiply. Let them be fruitful. And let them multiply in the waters. And let the fowl of the air, let them fill. Let them multiply." It's God's plan for all of creation to produce its own offspring. It's God's desire for the miracle of birth to be in all of creation. The tree produces its own tree. The animal produces its own animal. And so on and so forth throughout all of creation. The miracle of the time of birth.
Hallelujah.
The time a time to be born. The woman carried that life within her for about 9 months. And in that time, if the life is normal, if there are no problems, no complications, and if everything goes as it should, at the end of that 9 month period, you cannot stop that life from coming forth. You cannot keep that life from coming forth and being alive. And if that mother at the time of birth, if she is healthy, if everything is normal with that mother, and if everything is normal with the child, when the birth takes place, the child is going to be a healthy baby. And the child will end up growing into a good adulthood and live a long natural life. But it all goes back. The reason we tonight can sit here in a healthy manner, it goes back to the birth process. We had a good birth. We had a good birth and a healthy birth, and a healthy child was born. So we can sit tonight with health in our bodies, and it all goes back to the birth. We cannot forget the time of our birth. We cannot forget the time that we were born. But if that child, if that life that's struggling to be born in that mother, if that child takes too long to be born, or if at the time of birth there may be problems or may be troubles, that child could lose its life before it's ever born.
That's right.
If it takes too long to be born, that child's life could be snuffed out. Now, this is all something we've all heard and we all know. This is just the birth process. If it goes too lengthy or too long, the doctors do everything they can to get that life as soon as they can, so that life will not die within the mother. I thought on all of that, and then I began to think of us tonight. We, the church, we sit tonight as expectant mothers. We are waiting tonight for the miracle of birth to take place. Just like this miracle, like all of creation, the miracle of birth is within the church. God desired the church to produce its offspring. It's God's plan. How do sons and daughters, how are they born in the church? How are they born in the natural? How do we gain life in the church? We must produce life. We must bring forth the children, the sons and the daughters, that the church might continue on. It's not something that we can do if we like. It's no Planned Parenthood in the church. It isn't a privilege in the church. It's a necessity with the church. God's desired it, and God's ordained it, that we the church, bring forth the life. That we the church, we bring forth the life as the mothers, as the mother. Now, when there is about to be a birth, when their birth is about to take place, there's excitement.
Yes, sir.
I want you to know, when our little boy was born, I was pretty much excited.
Yeah.
I kept Bell Telephone in business that day. I made so many long-distance phone calls to everybody I knew. I thought everybody wanted to hear that we had a child. And I thought everybody was interested in what he looked like and how long he was and how much he weighed. I don't know if they were or not. They heard it anyhow. But I was excited when that doctor and the nurse, when they came out and told me, I feel so good inside. A child was born. There's something wrong with a mother or a father that when the announcement is brought, you have given forth life to a child. There's something wrong if there is no excitement. There's something wrong. It's the natural instinct of parents, of mothers and fathers, to be joyful and to feel excitement when we know we have brought forth a child. Life has come. The reason that excitement should be there, it goes back to that the ordained will of God, that mankind produce mankind, and that's God's plan. I wonder tonight, and I question how some of the church can sit different times with no excitement when we realize that there are lost souls, unborn souls, that pass through the ranks of our church. I wonder sometimes how some of us can, and I'm not saying all of us do, but sometimes we do, and we know we do. We don't gain the burden for the lost soul that sits in our service. How can we, as natural mothers in the church, how can we feel no excitement when we recognize That soul is a potential son or daughter in the church. That's a potential child that God desires to give life.
Hallelujah.
Every soul that passes our pathway or crosses our pathway is a potential life in the church. And we are the potential mothers that's going to bring forth that life. That's the will of God. That's the desire of God. That's the way it should be. The reason we have revival, revival makes us ready. Revival carries us to the delivery room. Revival sets us where we are prepared to bring forth a child. And mother, it's a sad thing if at the time of birth, when that natural mother, when the pains began to come and the cries began to come and she recognizes that the child is about to come forth, it's a sad thing if that mother has to cry out and say, I'm not ready for this. My health isn't up to it. Or I'm just not ready for it. My Lord, when the church, when it's time for birth to come, it is no time then for us to think, are we ready for the birth? We've got to be healthy mothers. We've got to be prepared mothers that the child might come forth, a healthy child, a natural child, a strong spiritual saint of God. At the time of birth, at the time of birth, when the lost soul comes to kneel at the altar, when that lost soul begins to pray and cry out to God, it's no time for me as a saint, as a parent in the church, it's no time for me to kneel down beside that lost soul and not even give a notion about their cries and their struggling for birth. But it's no time for me to sit there and say, my God, please stir me. Lord, help me to be ready. Lord, help me to be prepared. I should already be at the state of preparation. I should be ready for the time of labor. I should be ready to struggle and fight and feel concerned as we are about to bring forth a child. There needs to be joy every time we walk into the house of God, because every service there's a possibility a son might be born. Every night at church I feel the desire, God, give us a child tonight. Lord, give us children this night. And it's all there. The time of birth, the time of birth is around us. The time of birth is about us. If we desire to produce healthy children, we also must be healthy. We must be ready. And I feel with all of my soul that there's a time of birth about to take place around here. I feel that God desires birth to take place. God desires souls to be born into the kingdom. My Lord, help me. Help me to do what I must do. When I was small and living in Ohio, my cousin and I, one day we were walking my grandfather's orchard. I looked up in the tree and saw a cocoon. Old, ugly looking thing. No beauty in a cocoon. I looked at it, and as I watched it, we began to notice inside there was something moving and fluttering. We knew that there was a butterfly in there. And we knew a butterfly was something beautiful and something that just so lovely to look at. We saw this thing struggling. We watched for quite a while. We watched it as it fought and tried to fight its way out. My cousin and I fought among ourselves. We said, well, why don't we help it? So we broke that limb off and we got out a stick and we began to pry into that cocoon. We were going to help that cocoon, help that butterfly to come out. We dug away that film. We dug all that out of the way. And inside there was a tiny, puny looking little butterfly. We reached in. I remember holding it in my hand, and I held it out. I was ready for that butterfly to look back at me and wave its wing or something and say, well, thanks for your help. I was all prepared to be friends for life with that butterfly. I just seen it, hours of work and a long time and hardship and struggling. And I looked at it, and I was about ready to let that butterfly fly away. And in just a few moments' time, that beautiful-looking butterfly just laid over in the palm of my hand and died. That hurt me. I couldn't understand. Here I went through the trouble to help that butterfly out of its cocoon and out of its struggling. But my folks told me later that that butterfly, that struggling that goes on, that God's desire. That's God's will. That's God's way. Like it or not, that butterfly had to struggle because the struggling made it strong. The fighting out of the cocoon made it able that its wings could have strength that it could fly. It did something, I found out later, to the inside of it, that it was strong enough to sustain itself. Our meddling in the affairs that God had created cost the life of that butterfly. Now, a butterfly isn't so important, but my soul yearns and cries for the lost souls that sometimes we've meddled with. Sometimes we have tried to give a helping hand to a lost soul, and instead of guiding them and helping them, we've hindered their spiritual endeavor, and we've hindered their strength. I was in a service not long ago in a revival, and a young couple was coming up. It was in my father's church. A young couple just started coming to the church and coming to the altar. And they were coming every night of that revival, seeking God, praying hard. They were, don't get discouraged if we're praying hard. As long as that desire to pray is there, keep on struggling. Keep on fighting. That's natural to struggle. And I watched as they came night after night. And every night I thought, well, sure they're going to get the Holy Ghost tonight or receive the Holy Ghost tonight. Not get it, receive the Holy Ghost tonight. And a young lady in my dad's church decided she wanted to help them. And she really helped them. She talked to them that night and instructed them. I don't know where she got the business to instruct anyone about receiving the Holy Ghost in the way she did. So she helped them. And she helped them so much that the next night they didn't come to the altar. And the next night they didn't come to the altar. We went through the revival and they wouldn't come to the altar. They just got to feeling like there wasn't any need to come to the altar. Let me warn every one of us tonight. Don't damage an unborn soul. That soul, when they begin to struggle for life, we all know that that little infant at the time of birth, that little child, if everything doesn't go right, that child can lose its life. We are dealing with a delicate situation. When a child is about to be born in the church, we need to walk softly. We need to talk softly. We don't throw a newborn babe up in the air and try to play catch and say, oh, isn't that funny? No, we walk them and we cradle them and we embrace them so carefully. Well, sometimes we take a newborn babe in Christ and we damage them. We make them spiritual weaklings. Let me warn us, the church, let us not damage the unborn soul, but let's let it through the proper time. Through the time element, through the progress of time. If that child desires life, if that life desires to come forth and be alive, through the right time, through the perfect point of time, they're going to break out speaking in the heavenly language. They're going to come alive in the Holy Ghost. They're going to receive the Spirit of God if they desire. Now it all goes back if they desire. That little bird had the desire to break out of that shell. That cocoon had to fight to get out of that cocoon, the butterfly rather. And the lost soul, they have to struggle. They have to fight. They have to push. They have to do everything in their power to desire to come alive. There's a time of birth. There's a time of birth. I believe that. Just like at the end of the pregnancy, when that mother's time and that child's time has come, there's a time of birth for lost souls. There's a time when you are to be born. There's a time element involved when God desires to deal with you. Why doesn't everyone, why don't they all receive the Holy Ghost when they're 10 years old? I did. Why don't everybody walk in the church and live for God all of their lives? I don't know. Why do some of you, I've listened to some of you testify different times, why have some of you taken a course and a road of hard sin before some of you even knew anything about the Holy Ghost? Before you even knew that the gift of God was yours? Before you knew about eternal life? Why did you have to go out and partake of all the sin in the world? I think it all goes back to God's time element. there comes a time when it's your time to be born, when it's your hour for life, when it's your schedule to come forth and come alive. And I want to admonish every soul that's here tonight without the gift of the Holy Ghost. You sit here tonight, an unborn soul. You may have flesh and blood and look like all of us, but inside you are unborn. Your soul has not yet come alive. The Word of God teaches us about repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and then receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that gift of the Holy Ghost is the first cry that that baby makes when it comes alive. It's the utterance of a newborn child. It's the utterance of a new life. It's a cry that there's been a child born. All the church cries out, a child has been born. A child's been born. And if you were here tonight without the gift of the Holy Ghost, I want to tell you with all love that I can muster in my soul, don't go beyond your time of birth. Don't go beyond your time of birth. I thought this afternoon as I prayed and studied and tried to think on the things of God, I've seen people that have gone beyond their time. And it pricks my heart. I remember Brother Bishop. He was here about a year or so ago, a couple of nights, I think. I was at his church before I married for 3 weeks. And in that revival, if I'd ever seen conviction move in any one revival, I saw it in that revival. For 3 weeks, it never let up. God moved on, and sometimes you don't have any idea who you're preaching to. Sometimes a sermon will come and you think, Lord, why this? And you have no idea who you're preaching to. But there were several nights in that revival, and I didn't purposely. I would never do it. But there were several nights that I felt as though that everything that was being said was directed, and I saw two young men. In that revival, I watched them as the movement and the struggle of life was upon them. You can see conviction. You can see conviction. A person would try and laugh and hide it and cover it up, but conviction is so real and so visible. You see the tears. Don't feel as though you're less a man because you're crying. That's the movement of life. That's signs that there's life inside. When you feel something and you're trying to cover it up and hide it, don't be embarrassed. That's the moving of life inside of you. And I watched for these 3 weeks as conviction ripped at the hearts of these young men. But for the 3 weeks, they wouldn't come and worship God. They wouldn't come and seek the Lord. The struggling was there. The movement was there. The life was there, crying out, let me be born. Let me come alive. Let me come forth. But they fought it off. And they waited too long. I went back a year later, same revival, and one of those boys was still in that church, still without the Holy Ghost. I preached 3 more weeks of revival. And in those 3 weeks, several nights where conviction walked the aisles. But not one night did I see that one young man ever moved by conviction. There wasn't one night that a tear flooded one of his eyes. There wasn't one night that you could sense that conviction was there, beating at his heart, crying for him. All movement had stopped. It was like the little bird that had a half-cracked shell about to come forth, and then all of a sudden the life just died within it. There wasn't nothing that anyone else could do. A soul that comes around the church for any length of time, I am one that I'm thoroughly convinced that when we begin to have the knowledge of the Lord and the Lord talks to us, I feel we must move after the leading of God. I've seen too many people to believe otherwise. I've seen those that they've waited and they've lingered and they've procrastinated. You can procrastinate with anything, but don't you dare make the Spirit of God wait on you. Don't you dare become big enough in yourself that you can tell the Holy Ghost, you wait till I'm ready. No, it doesn't work that way. When that baby's about to come forth, that mother does not say, not now. And the child cannot say, not now. The mother can only carry that child so long. And there must be a birth. There must be a birth. There's a time element involved when the mother has to deliver that child. Tonight, Some of you have walked with the church, and the church has carried you for years. The church has carried you like an expectant mother. And every revival, we get all excited saying, maybe this is the time for this child to be born. Maybe this life will come alive. But I want to warn you again tonight. There's only so long the church can carry you. There's only so long you can nourish yourself off the church. There's only so long that you can sustain life off of the church or out of the church. Like it or not tonight, like what I'm saying or not, that doesn't matter. I'm telling you the way I feel it in my soul. There comes a time when you have to live for yourself spiritually. And there comes an hour where you have to feed yourself spiritually. And all the church would try to do is to no avail. Wait too long, linger too long, you may lose that spiritual life that's struggling for birth. There's a time of birth. There's a time to be born. There's a time to come forth. Once the seed of this Word of God has been planted in your heart, there's nothing that we can do. Once this message, this truth has been instilled into a lost soul's heart, and that seed begins to produce and grow, and the image, the being is about to come alive, our hands are tied.
Amen.
I'd like to say we could do something about it, but we can't. You must struggle for your own life. You must fight for your own life. You must have a desire to come alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If the life of a child, if it dies within the womb of the mother, never coming alive, never breathing its first breath, that mother, that father, they're going to feel sorrow. Sure they will. They're going to feel a terrible feeling as you realize that life that we had, we about brought, it never came alive. But even though the sorrow's there, that mother's going to have to go on because she recognizes there are other sons to be born. There are other daughters to come alive. And I want you to know tonight the stand of the church. We want with every ounce of our spiritual strength to see you born filled with the Holy Ghost. But I want you to know there are other sons to be born. There are other children to come alive tonight. There are other souls that we need to reach. And there's other lives that need to come in. And the seed of the Word be planted within their hearts. So again, God wants you to come alive. God wants you to be born. A time of birth is upon us. But you're the one. You're the one that must struggle for your birth. You're the one that must fight for your own birth. And it comes down to the matter, how much do you desire to be born tonight? How much do you desire to come alive tonight? The Holy Ghost is the gift that God has, the eternal gift. It's eternal life. We're talking about being born where we're never going to die. Being born where we live with Him throughout eternity. It's a glorious life. But it's a life that every one of us, we must choose. We must choose our own desire. Lord, I want to be born spiritually. Hallelujah. Let us stand tonight, if you would, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't wait too long. What's too long? I don't know. I have no idea. But I want to tell you tonight, because I feel it. Don't wait too long to make your move to come alive with God. When the Holy Ghost moves in your life, when the Spirit of God deals with your soul, heed the message of God. Listen to the moving of God. Sometimes the church goes through a time when we feel the agony, and we feel the travailing, and we feel the signs of labor. Don't worry about it, church. The worst misery that the mother goes through is right before the child's going to be born. And when that child comes alive, she's forgetting all about the times of labor. She's forgotten all the pains and all the agony and all the suffering as she looks into the life or the face of that new child that she has brought forth, that she has produced. Church, it's worth every prayer we've ever prayed to see a son born. It's worth every moment of suffering and agony that we've ever endured to see a child come forth. And that's what it's all about tonight. Let me go back and say, we must produce life. If we're doing the function of God and the work of God, we must produce life. We've got to do everything in our power to see to it that life comes forth. Hallelujah. A time to be born. Tonight, there are souls here that need to come alive with the gift of the Holy Ghost. If I could come out, if I could pull anyone to the altar and force them to start praying, I guarantee you I'd do it. I sure would. I'd walk out in the streets, I'd stop every car that drove by, and I'd make them walk to these altars and cry out. I'd say, you better cry out. And I'd make them, if I could, I'd force them to pray, and I'd force them to struggle and fight to be born. But it can't be tonight. It's got to be your fight. It's got to be your struggle, your desire. And this church is here tonight, a mother that's waiting to bring you forth, that's waiting to deliver you into a new life, waiting to bring you into the newness, into a world that you've never yet walked into. But it has to be yours. Hallelujah. I wonder tonight as we sing, I wonder if there'll be a soul here tonight that with its heart's desire saying, I desire to be born of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. As we stand, as we are here tonight, would there be a soul that would say, I'd like to come alive in God tonight? A time to be born. My time of birth. My hour of birth. My moment to come alive. Hallelujah. Oh, now ready your heart. I know Jesus is here right now. Hallelujah, sing it. I know Jesus is here right now. God desires to talk to your soul tonight. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, come and be born tonight. Come and be born tonight. Come and receive life through Him.
Glory. All right, souls that want the Holy Ghost, if you want anything from God, come right now, let's pray. Oh, Jesus is here. Who's first? Step out. Step out and give your heart to God. No time like right now. No time like right now. Glory to God in the highest.